This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Good morning, everybody. God is good. God who was, who is, and who is to come. He's got every base covered. Your past, your present, your future. Who was, who is to come. He's always been there. He's here right now. He'll be there tomorrow. Nothing left uncovered. I love that. I love that about God. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are the God who was, who is, and who is to come. That you are with us right now. And God, I'm so grateful to you today that you don't just live with us. You live in us. And I pray today that we would get a real grasp of what that means. You're not just someone who is among us or around us. You are in us. And I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that your word is alive and powerful and sharp, and it can divide between soul and spirit, bone and marrow. And that's what I ask today for us today, Father, that we would yield to your word, that we would allow your word to come in and it would divide between our soul and our spirit, that we would rightly be able to see what is the truth and the way that we should go and the way we should live. We thank you and we welcome you, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I would like us to turn to Genesis 28, please. And I'm going to start reading at verse 10. And I was going to, I actually brought my Bible up here and I was actually going to read it out of my Bible, but that would mean that I would have to put my glasses on. And I'm not going to do that. So I haven't memorized it. I'm going to read it out of my iPad, which is much bigger. You can make that print as big as you like. Okay, I'm not very good at keeping secrets. All right, Genesis 28, verse 10. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head and lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed. No wonder he had a dream. He had a rock for a pillow. Anyway, then he dreamed. And behold, a ladder was set up on the earth and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west and the east, to the north and the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And I'm going to stop there. I want to have a look this morning. A thing that's gripped me recently is the fact that we are the gate of heaven. So that's what I want to have a look at this morning. But first we need to establish some foundation for that. So we see in this scripture in Genesis 28 that it's the first time in the Bible that the house of God is mentioned. I find that very interesting. And we realise that Jacob couldn't have been referring to a building because there was none. He was sleeping on a rock on the ground. There wasn't a building. So when he said, this is none other than the house of God, he wasn't referring to a building. He can't have been referring to an organisation or a religious group of people. There was no one else there. So he wasn't referring to a building. He wasn't referring to a group of people. When what Jacob saw in this dream, I believe, was a prophecy of what was to come when he was talking about this is none other than the house of God. He was talking about a person. And this prophetic dream was fulfilled in Jesus. We see in the word later on in John where it says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.'" Jesus was the fulfillment of this prophetic dream. He was the initial fulfillment of this dream, and he made the way open for us to become the dwelling place of God. God himself, Jesus, the dwelling place of God, became flesh and came to earth and dwelt among us, and then through his ministry, his death and his resurrection made the way open for you and I to become the house of God. So we see the house of God is not talking about a building. It's not talking about a group of people, although when we are all together we become that, but it's talking about I am the house of God. God doesn't live next to me. He doesn't follow me around everywhere I go like a shadow. And I know that we've sort of described it like that sometimes in church so that we can get a picture of what that looks like. But he's not someone who just tags along beside me and, you know, like an imaginary friend. He's in me. And that makes a difference. Because if I think that God comes with me wherever I go, there's a possibility he may not come with me. Or I could leave him. Just wait out here, God, while I go and do this other thing. He is in me. He's in you. Ephesians says, "Now therefore you are no longer slaves, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone," in other words, the first, "the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So we are the dwelling place, and when we come together, we create that. We're all being joined together and we become that temple in the Lord. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit dwells in you? 1 Corinthians 3 says. How awesome is this place? When Jacob said that, he was talking about the dwelling place of God. He's talking about you and me. How awesome is this place? It's none other than the house of God, and it's the gateway of heaven. We are the house of God. We are his dwelling place. We are the gate of heaven. I want to look at that, explore that a bit. Gates in the Old Testament cities were a place of news and business. You know, there was no Google. There was no internet, there was no TV. The city gate was represented, it's a place of entrance. It first of all represents a place of entrance, but it represents authority, power. It's where the judiciary of the towns were. You know, we have our Supreme Court. That's where our highest court in the land is. They had the city gate. That's where it all happened. It was a very important place. Gates are a symbol of entrance, power, and authority. We are described as the gate of heaven, the entrance, the place where heaven is able to enter earth is through us. The power, the authority, that's describing us. You are the gate of heaven. What a position of privilege and authority and responsibility you and I have. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. I love this verse. Be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. When I read that scripture, I picture us all together. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. lift up everlasting doors and the King of Glory will come in. Who is this King of Glory? Mighty in battle. We've been talking about war and battle. Who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord God, mighty in battle. That's Psalm 24. And that psalm is actually what the people of Israel sang as the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back to its final resting place, to the temple where it was going to stay. Up until that time, God didn't have a dwelling place. He was going, you know, in the ark, wherever the people went. And as David brought the Ark of the Covenant into the temple for its final resting place, this is what the people sang. We are God's final resting place. We are his permanent dwelling place. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. What does being the gate of heaven mean and what does it look like? This is what it means and this is what it looks like. It means your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Being the gate of heaven means being the place that heaven or the will of the Father, heaven is where the will of the Father happens, where he is, where everything is as it should be, where everything is in God's order, in God's authority, and there's no sickness, and there's no defeat, and there's no sorrow, and there's no pain, and there's no lack, and there is nothing but God's perfect will. And he says, I want that to come down and be reality on this earth. And this is how it's going to happen. It's going to happen through the gate of heaven, and you are that gate of heaven. If we're to be the gate of heaven and to carry out the will of the Father on earth, then we must know what the will of the Father is. Where was Jesus? I was thinking about this when Jesus said, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my will, but yours. When he said that, not my will, but yours be done, where was he? He was in the garden of Gethsemane when he said that, about to go to the cross. So He was praying. He was communicating with the Father. He was having a conversation with the Father. He was saying, Father, this is actually not how I want it to be. If there's any other way that we can do this, can you let me know about it right now? Because I will go that. But in the end, the Father was communicating with him and he's saying, okay, Father, not my will but yours. That's what I want to bring to earth. How did Jesus carry out the will of the Father while he was on earth? He knew the will of the Father. The Son only does what he sees the Father doing. It tells us in John 5:19, Jesus answered the disciples and said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Whatever he does, whatever God the Father does, whatever's happening there, whatever I see him doing in heaven, that's what I'm going to do on earth. Can we say that? As gates of heaven, that I know what's going on in the heavenly realms, that I know what the will of the Father is, and that's what I'm going to make sure happens on earth. That's going to be what flows through me. That's how we are supposed to be as Christians. That's not just for Jesus or the super spiros. That's for all of us. We can know the mysteries of the kingdom have been revealed to us. It's not a mystery to us. God doesn't keep mysteries from us. He wants us to know things, to discover things about the kingdom and what his will is. John 12 says, For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command. What I should say, what I should speak. What I should say and how I should say it. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. It was Jesus' intimate connection with the Father in heaven that positioned him to bring that world to this one. It was his intimate connection to the Father that enabled him to know the Father's will and to bring that reality, because that's reality. Think on the realities of heaven. The Bible tells us, think about what's reality in heaven. There are realities in heaven right now. Think about those realities. What's reality in heaven right now, Father? What is reality up there? I want that to come down and be reality in my world. I want the reality of heaven in my world. I want the reality of heaven on Moores Road, Mombulk. That's where I know all the Moores Road people, because there's a few of us are saying, yes, I want the reality of heaven on Mount Pleasant Road in Mombolk. There's a lot of gates of heaven living on Mount Pleasant Road, Mombolk. I want the reality of heaven in Mombolk, in Australia, in my life, in my family. And it's going to come through this gate. It's going to come through this gate. If we don't maintain, I'm skipping ahead. To be an operating gate of heaven, what for a gate to work properly, what does it need to be able to do? It needs to be able to open. It needs to be able to open and close. It needs to be able to open and close. It needs to be able to loose and bind. It needs to be able to allow and forbid. That's what a gate of heaven does. When we talk about loosing and binding, we can get a bit caught up in all that. To bind something just means we forbid for it to happen. That's what the word bind means, to forbid it to happen. To loose something means we allow it to happen. If I see something going on down here that I know is not a reality in heaven, I forbid that to happen. That's what the word says we can do. We have the power and the authority as the gateway of heaven to see things happening in our lives and say that is not God's will. That is not what's going on in heaven. That is not what the Father sees. I forbid that to happen. Or I loose freedom. I loose victory. I loose healing. I loose deliverance. That's what's reality in heaven. I loose that to have its way in my life, in my community. To be an operating gate of heaven, it is vital for us to have an intimate, active relationship with the Father. There is no other way. In Isaiah 56, God says that his house shall be called a house of prayer. You are his house. His description of you as his dwelling place is to be a house of prayer. Often when we think my house will be a house of prayer, well, yes, the church will be a house of prayer. 84B Old Emerald Road will be a house of prayer. And it should be, because we should all be praying. We, though, I am the house of God. It's not about a building or a prayer meeting as such or anything like that. My house shall be a house of prayer. That's how God describes you. You are to be a house of prayer. Prayer is the key that unlocks the gate and allows it to function. If we don't maintain our relationship with the Father, it's the same as having a locked gate. One side of the gate, we have the will of the Father. On the other side of the gate, we have a dying world. Will of the Father, dying world, gate. And it's up to us whether that gate operates or not. And prayer is the key that unlocks the gate. People are suffering on this side of the gate. It's a dying world. They're suffering physically. They're suffering emotionally. They're suffering financially. They're suffering in relationships. And sometimes we've locked up our gate by not having an intimate relationship with the Father. I don't want that to be me. I'm sorry, Lord, for the times it has been me where I've locked my gate. I want to open my gate and release all that heaven has on this earth. I know that it's a struggle to schedule time for prayer. But, and I'm not just talking about emergency prayer. We can all find time for emergency prayer. That's, you know, what we can pray in the, and I know we can pray anywhere and we should do that. And we should be up, but what I'm talking about here is deliberate, set aside quantity, not just quality. Because sometimes we make the mistake of thinking, well, it's my quality of prayer that matters. That's true. But it's also about quantity. Do you know, Jesus was one of the busiest people I've ever known or read about. He was not just feeding a family or providing for a family. He was providing and feeding thousands at a time. We think we're struggling because we've got to provide for five or six people and feed them a meal, or he was feeding 5,000 at a time. People were always wanting something. He was always crowded by people. There were multitudes always wanting something, needing something. Heal me, deliver me, feed me, clothe me. all the time. He was busy with a capital B. But he knew it was vital that he stayed connected to the Father. So he would often withdraw to the wilderness. Often withdraw to the wilderness or a mountaintop to pray. He deliberately went to the wilderness. Think about a wilderness. We don't often deliberately want to go to wilderness places. But Jesus often withdrew deliberately to the wilderness. What does a wilderness look like? It's a place of solitude. It's barren. There ain't nothing in the wilderness. He made a deliberate choice to be in a place that had no distraction. He was deliberate about silencing all the other voices that were demanding his attention. I often feel like there's so much demanding and yelling for our attention, whether it's work or kids or family, relationships, everything's just demanding our attention. We should be like this and we should be like that and give me this and do that for me. Things demanding our attention. Jesus had that all the time, but he deliberately went to the wilderness. The wilderness could not have been a very comfortable place. Didn't have a little beanbag set up and a nice little lamp. I have a really nice place that I go to pray and I love that. I'm so glad that I don't have to literally go out into the wilderness and lay on a rock. You know, I have a little place with a little chair and a little light and little nice things, and I'm glad it's comfortable. But Jesus chose the uncomfortable place to go because he knew that every voice would be silenced there and he could tune in with the Father. How do you maintain your relationship with the Father? Are you maintaining your relationship with the Father? Do you know his will for the world around you? Do you know his will for you? Do you know his will for your children? Do you know his will for your job? You know, there's nothing worse than talking with someone who isn't really paying attention to you. And sometimes that's how we pray. We say what we want to say, but when we don't really give God time to talk to us. There's nothing worse than talking with someone and you know that they're not really interested in what you're saying and their body language is saying, come on, just get to the point, hurry up. And, you know, or they want the conversation to be quick. How often is our prayer life like that? Someone who only ever talks to you when they're in a hurry or tries to keep the conversation as brief as possible. Jesus spent quality and quantity time with the Father so that when he was among the people, he knew what the Father's will was. When it was time to feed the people, he knew what the Father wanted him to do. When he was presented with 5,000 people, he didn't then go off, hang on a minute, I'll just go find out what I should do. He knew what he should do in that moment because he had spent time with the Father. When someone came to be healed, when there was a demon to be cast out, he didn't, you know, have to do a little, I'll just do an emergency praying in tongues for a minute and then I'll know what to do. And I'm not trying to make fun of, you know, we should do those prayers when we need to, but it shouldn't be how it should not be the majority of our Christian life should not look like that. You know, sometimes as a mum and as a wife, and now even as a grandmother, I only need to give my family a look. And they know exactly what I mean. I'm not even going to look down there because I don't want to, not even going to. But you know, you're laughing because you know it's true. You know that you, with your people that you're in close relationship with, sometimes you've only got this certain body language or a look or a comment and you can read so much more into that. That's how close I think we should be with the Father. I'm only like that with my family because we've been married a long time. My kids are getting, we've been in relationship a long time. And so over that time, experience has taught that that look means that or that comment means that. And that's how we should be with the Father, relationship, so that when he gives us even a look or just a comment, we don't have to have an hour-long dialogue with him in the moment because we've had that already. We've done that, maintaining our relationship with him so that when we're out amongst the people in our everyday life, we just hear a word from the Father. We know exactly what all that entails or what that look means. Jesus showed us what his relationship with the Father looked like and sounded like, and it's in Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Let's have a look. Matthew 6, and interestingly enough, it's in the form of a prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Matthew 6, 9 says, in this manner therefore pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Notice that the first three things of the Lord's Prayer talk about his name, his kingdom, and his will. Your kingdom come, your name is holy, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. He's talking about his name, your kingdom come, your will be done. The first three points of the Lord's Prayer talk about his name, his kingdom, and his power. And he'll show us, that shows us that that should be what's first in our minds, in our lives. Then we talk about, or it goes on to say, supply our needs. Then we talk about what we need. But often we go in first with what we need, and then God, you fit in around that. And then the last three, or the last points, are about God again, his kingdom. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. The God who was, who is, and is to come. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. He's in the beginning, he's in the end. He's the first and the last. He should be the first thing we think about, the last thing we think about. His kingdom come, his will be done should be the first thing on our minds and the last thing on our minds. God wants each and every one of our gateways open and operating. He's made us all uniquely different, with different talents, different abilities. We each have a sphere of influence. We each have different jobs. We have different friends. We have different families. We have different hobbies. We're all so vast and variety. There's variety, there's difference. God intends for each one of us to operate in our particular place. I've no doubt that we're each planted and placed here for such a time as this. Right now, 2016, in Mombok. We always seem to think it's happening somewhere else. I'm amazed and feel so privileged that God knew what this time in history would look like. He knew the problems that would be going on right now. He knew the struggles. He knew the needs. And he put you here to meet that need. He put me here. There's something in me, the God in me, that can fulfill the need right now. That's amazing. Let me give you an example. Let's have of what it looks like to allow God to let you operate in your everyday life. Just quickly, let's have a look at Luke 5. Oh, I am going to have to put my glasses on, maybe. I'll see how see how far back I can get this Bible. Luke 5. I can do it. Okay, Luke 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God. So here we see Jesus, the multitude is pressed around about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from his boat. Here we see the multitudes pressing in on Jesus. And Jesus sees Peter's boat on the shore. He sees two fishing boats on the shore. Peter and the other fishermen had been out fishing all night. They were doing what they do. They were doing their everyday, ordinary thing. Fishing was their livelihood. It was the same as I, you know, when I get up and I come to work here every day, or when you go and do what you do every day. It was his ordinary, everyday life. His fishing boat. Fishing was his job. Peter was going about his everyday business. He'd been out fishing and he's washing and preparing his nets for the next time that he's going to go out fishing. It was ordinary. Ordinary everyday life for Peter. Then Jesus comes into the picture and he steps into Peter's everyday ordinary. And he uses that ordinary everyday thing as a platform to preach to multitudes. That's an amazing thing. Jesus wants to use your ordinary, everyday thing, the place where he's planted you, the job you're in, the family you're in, the friends you have, the hobbies that you like, the school you go to. He wants to step into that and he wants to use it as a platform to preach to multitudes. He wants you to be the gate of heaven. Is your gate operating? We long to see the glory of God on earth. I long to see that. I long to see people saved, to see people restored. I long to see the fullness of the kingdom of God in our world, in our time. Well, guess what? We are that way it's going to happen. We are the gate. How awesome is this place? Open the floodgates of heaven. I look at that song differently now. It has a bit of a different meaning. The floodgates in Mombok. I want to do something right now which may seem a little strange, but God showed me this and so I'm going to do it. You know, me standing alone, I'm a gate. I'm a gate in my home. I have a sphere of influence. I have a circle of friends. I have children. I have extended family that don't know the Lord. I have extended family that are sick and suffering and financially under stress. I am that gateway. It's imperative that I am operating, knowing the Father's will, spending time with him deliberately, being intimate with him, not rushing it, spending time, finding out what he wants done in my, what, God, what do you want done in my daughter's life? What, you know, talk to him about that thing. God, I see this and this happening and I know that's not your will. So I'm going to forbid those things to happen and I'm going to lose freedom and victory. And speak that and pray that into people's life. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It doesn't mean I run out and I arrange her whole life and fix, you know, everyone's life. But God gives me prayer strategy to bring down the strongholds, to bring down every high thought that exalts itself above God. That's my place. Know the will of the Father and be the gateway, the avenue, the entrance, the place of authority, the place of power. I want people rushing to this gate. People would rush to the gate of the city when something was going on. I want people rushing to this gate. And I want to bring the realities of heaven into my world. David, can you stand up for a minute? Sorry. I'm a gateway of heaven. Here's a gateway of heaven. Two gateways. Shauna. Three. Catherine, four, Wilma, Josie, Melissa, Danny, Andrew, Lucia, everybody. I could go all day, but honestly, everybody, please stand. We, you, Wilma, in your family, you are the gateway of heaven. Ange, Angela, in your shop, in this town, a gateway of heaven. Josie, Fruit Bowl, we've got Main Street covered. Middle, Fruit Bowl, all over the place. Moores Road, Mount Pleasant Road. Coringa Road. Coringa Road. Oh, it's way down there, but it's covered. Belgrave, Emerald, Berwick Bray. Berwick Bray's got no chance. They're covered. But, on, you know, look around at each other. How awesome is this place? My family, your family, God has created us, the house of God, the gateway of heaven. You know, if I could talk to you about the struggles that you could tell me about your life, about people that you know, whoa, we could go over, get overwhelmed with that and think that's just crazy. But what I think is awesome. What an amount that we've got covered. What a place that we've got covered. What a sphere. Mombok Christian Fellowship, we don't realise, I truly believe this with my heart, we don't realise how far our influence goes. We might think we're little, you know, we've had this word, little tucked away. Well, not anymore. We're being uncovered, Mombok Christian Fellowship. You know, make sure that your gate is operating. Your gateway is wide open, that you, when you see things that you need to forbid, you fit it. You've got power and authority to forbid those things to happen. No more. No more, enemy. This is the line in the sand. You will not have my family. You will not have my children. You'll not have my friends. You can say, you will not have my husband. You will not have my wife. You will not have my finances. You will not have my health. I forbid it, because that's not my will. That's His will. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to pray for us. Father, I thank You for Your word. Your word is truth. You have said, we are Your house. You dwell in us. We are the house of God. We are the gate of heaven. Father, I pray for each one of us that we will come aside often and have intimate relationship with You, discovering what Your will is, finding out what Your will is in each of our unique situations, our family members, our loved ones, our friends, our workplaces. You see it all, You know it all, and You have a plan and a purpose for each one. I thank You for choosing us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You encourage us as a church to look bigger than ourselves, to look far beyond our own reach, Father, because I believe that You've said that we have much. Mombolk is Yours. You've told us that Mombolk is Yours and we are to steward it well. Father God, open every single one of these gates that are standing in this place. Where the gates have been rusty, I pray for the oil of the Holy Spirit to come on each and every rusty gate where we found it hard to open. Father God, come and let us open our gates wide so that the realities of heaven come and be realities on this earth. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, God has given us a word. And I believe that we're to take that and not forget it. And if you have things that you want prayer about, please come and get prayer, because I think we need to deal with these things. We need to deal with where we've maybe had our gates closed, we've allowed something to push its foot up against the gate and keep it shut. You know, let's get rid of those things. We want every single one of these gates wide open and operating as it should.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombolk Christian Fellowship.